People distracted driving deaths are up 40% in Ontario compared to last year. Psychologist and author, parenting and relationship expert, host of the Experts Connect with Help Me Sarah podcast, Sarah Dimmerman, joining us on Canada Now. Sarah, we always appreciate your expertise. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course, always. Well, the Ontario Provincial Police says the number of fatal collisions caused by distracted driving on the roads has increased 40% more compared to this time last year. And most of the cases involve cell phones. And it's gotten to a point where you just can't touch your phones while in the process of driving, even while stopped at a light. But drivers just can't seem to help themselves.
Yeah, I mean, we're not supposed to, of course, but as you said, I think what you said was absolutely correct. We can't seem to stop ourselves. And I think there's a number of different reasons for that. I mean, including the fact that we are, and I put myself in the same category, I think we're all addicted to our phones, well, yeah. Most of us.
Yeah.
I mean, we automatically respond to pings and alerts. We certainly don't turn them off when we're driving. We want to check things right away. We're used to looking for constant stimulation as a relief from boredom. And driving can be pretty boring, especially if you're on the same road every day going to work, for example. And so you're looking, like you get a ping, you want to check it. You want to just interrupt that boredom with something. And, you know, if we were to calculate, or if we were to actually list or become more aware of how often we're checking our phones in the car or outside of the car, I mean, we'd probably be checking them every few minutes when they're on us. And so that's why I personally, if I'm driving, I listen to radio shows such as yours, so that I can be distracted, but in a good way, from wanting to check my phone, because it keeps my interest going, listening to different topics. If I'm listening to music, I find that I'm much more inclined to want to check my phone. It's an urge. We feel almost compelled to. That's part of the addiction.
What's wrong with us, though, that driving has become such a background activity? Because no matter the fines associated with distracted driving, the possible worst-case scenarios, Sarah, drivers are just not paying attention to the task at hand the way that they should. And look, I'm not on my soapbox here. I think I try to do as good a job as anybody to pay attention and to apply attention where it absolutely needs to be at all times. But I'm one in the same where you hear a ping and there's at least a part of you that's like, I wonder what that's all about. And then even when you're not checking your phone, you're thinking about who that possibly could be. Maybe it's so-and-so responding to such-and-such. What is it? I know there's this dopamine hit, but what is it about? It's like, how we don't want to be like that. I know we don't want to be like that. How do we wean ourselves off of doing that? Can we?
Well, I think we need to remind ourselves just what the consequences can be. I think what happens is, and I put myself in the same category. As I said, I'm not standing on my soapbox either saying I'm better than anyone else. I certainly do check. And every time I do, I say, I shouldn't be doing this. You know, even if I'm on the phone to my daughter, for example, my daughters are both grown and they both drive. You know, my daughter might say, I've sent you a picture. And I say, okay, I'll check it quickly. I'm at a red light. And she'll go, you're what? So, and then I think, well, I shouldn't be doing that for my own best interest and other people around me. But I also don't want to be modeling that, even though she's a grown adult. I don't want her to think that's okay. And I think what happens is that we have been distracted so many times, and for lots of us, nothing bad has happened. And so we wrongly assume that it never will. You know, if we've checked like 100 times and nothing ever happened, we never went into the car in front of us or anything like that, we assume it never will. And this assumption is false, because we can't control the variables so that each time is the same as the one before. The driver behind you, the driver in front of you is different. The weather conditions vary. The degree of distraction varies. And so I think we have to remind ourselves that the greatest consequence of distracted driving is death. And we could lose our lives in seconds by not being, you know, spot on. And I think part of it is, too, that we overestimate our multitasking abilities, even when multitasking may mean losing our lives. You know, many drivers who've been driving for a while will say things like, I don't remember the route I took. I just got here, you know, and this is often because they're distracted along the way. It may not even be with their phones. It could even be thoughts. But There's different stages of learning, and what happens is when you've been driving for many years, you reach a state of what's actually written about in psychology called becoming unconsciously competent. And so when you're unconsciously competent when you're driving, for example, it means that we don't need to think about how to drive. We go into automatic pilot, almost as if the car is driving itself, you know, and I know some cars do, but most don't. So we get into that unconsciously competent state where we feel so secure with the knowledge that we know how to drive that it does become, as you said, the background. The driving is the least important thing that we're doing when we're in the car. And the other thing is, you know, we're always trying to be productive. We need to send the text while you're driving to save time doing it when we get there. Or I just want to check this mail that I've been waiting for. And so I think one of the most important things is learning how not to check one's phone while driving. And it takes patience, it takes willpower, and lots of reminders to oneself about what can happen when we're distracted.
We're with psychologist Sarah Dimmerman. Distracted driving deaths up 40% in Ontario compared to last year. Sarah, is there a lag time between when a driver looks at their phone to when they need to focus back on the road and their surroundings? Because you would look at your phone and then back on the road and you think, all right, my eyes are on the road. But it does take a few seconds for you to reestablish your focus and the surroundings as well.
Right. And there have been articles written about that. There was recently an article which quoted Jay Olson, who's a professor of psychology at the University of Toronto, and he writes about, or he says, that it takes your time, as you said, to focus from your phone back onto the road. So that creates a slower reaction time. He says that when people change their attention to something else, there's something called a switch cost. So changing your attention to do another task and changing it back, it slows this kind of switch. So if something, he says that if something unexpected happens on the road, your reaction time is slower to re-engage your attention. And this is something that I don't think that unless we're listening to the show and read and learning about, or unless we're reading an article, we don't think about it. We don't think about the time that it takes to switch back. We automatically assume we can because we do. And we've done it, as I said, so many times and nothing bad has happened.
I had a guest on my show before, Sarah, talking about multitasking, and the guest, I can't remember exactly who it was, but they were talking about the brain, and they were talking about multitasking, and they said, you know, we're not actually built to multitask. Like, we're not actually supposed to do it. We all do it to varying degrees, but we're actually not supposed to be multitasking. We're supposed to be focusing on one thing at a time. And that was a big game changer for me, because when I realized, because like you think everybody's multitasking, I've got to be as good as other people in multitasking to be able to accomplish the things I need to do, ergo to be as successful as other people are and to keep up with everybody else. But when you understand that you're actually not supposed to be multitasking because we're not built for it, then I think we might peel back a little bit and say, let's not do it since we're not supposed to.
Well, I think we live in such a fast-paced, frenetic world that, you know, you think of parents at home, for example, who are making breakfast, packing school lunches, checking the weather, laying out the clothes, responding to an email, getting themselves dressed. That's all multitasking, right? And, you know, I've also heard it be said that we can do it all, but we can't do it all at once. And yes, if we had the luxury of more time, maybe it is better to do one thing at a time. You know, I'm sure you've noticed if you're at your computer, I notice this myself. If I'm doing something at my computer and then I get distracted by an email that and reminds me, I haven't done this, and then I start to do that, then I forget what I was doing in the first place. So that's an example of like kind of switching your brain and trying to do too many things at once. And sometimes I'll say to myself, no, make a little note next to you, which I do, to come back to this, but stay on track. The difference is, I mean, it's, as you said, I agree that we do much better when we don't multitask if we have that luxury. And especially like if you don't have a lot of activity around you and you can focus on one thing at a time. But it's imperative when you're driving. It's not even like whether we can do it well or whether we can't do it well. We know, statistics have shown us, we've read and we've learned that when we are distracted, and you know, that can be cell phones as we're talking about, but I know that there's a penalty for any kind of distracted driving, and I believe, and I hope I'm correct when I say that, that even like eating a piece of fruit is considered, or eating anything is considered mm-hmm. distracted driving, because you're focusing on the chewing. You could, God forbid, choke. You know, you're not even supposed to do that. I think really the only thing you can do is talk to the passenger or talk on a hands-free, you know, have a hands-free conversation. But when we are distracted, when we're in the car and we're driving and we're actually operating this machine that can kill people and ourselves, then it's not even a matter of can we, can't we. The law is there to protect us. And, you know, I'm sure people may or may not be aware that the if you are found to have distracted driving charge, it's usually about a $1,000 fine. And I believe they take your license away for a while. It was interesting when my daughter was had just started to drive. She's now 25, so she was about 17 at the time. She was driving to work one morning, and she got pulled over, and she had no idea what. In fact, there was about three police cars that surrounded her. She was very panicked, called me in tears because it was, you know, very soon after she was driving on her own. And it turned out that there was a plainclothes policeman in a local regional bus, and he was looking down into the cars below him and radioing to other police, you know, cars or policemen who were in cars about what he had seen and the license plates. And they pulled her over because she was found to be distracted driving while, you know, from somebody who was sitting in a bus looking down at her. So I'm not saying, you know, be aware of your surroundings and make sure you don't get caught, because that's not the idea. But I'm just saying that there are people watching for good reason. And you've got to be very careful just for yourself and for others.
A lesson learned for your daughter, for sure.
Look,
we're talking about safety. We're talking about brain health when it comes to not being distracted while driving, but just being distracted in general. You know, last hour I was with Storm and Norman Rumack, Sarah, and we were talking about, he was a sports radio host for many, many years, and we were talking about some past guests that he's had on, and one of which that we had in common was Mike Pinball Clemens of the Toronto Argonauts. I mean, a former player, a coach, GM, what have you. And we talked about a special gift that Pinball had, and it was that he made you feel like the most special person on earth, because whenever he would speak with you, he would lock eyes with you, he had a genuine interest, and he would never look away. You were the most important person in the world, because you were the person that he was talking with at that moment, and he made you feel good. So in that vein, in talking about relationships, how much do you hear about disconnection or not enough attention paid to someone because of phones and distraction, becoming busier than we actually need to be?
Oh, all the time. I mean, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about the relationship that I have with clients, you know, whether it be in person or via Zoom. And I'm thinking that probably one of the benefits of seeing a therapist is that you have your therapist's eyes locked on you and focused on you for 50 minutes, you know? And so unless there's an emergency in my life, I'm focusing on that person. And how often does that happen? I think in everyday life, we have issues with our partners. We have issues with our children. They have issues with us. We have issues with our friends when we go out, even to restaurants, for example. People will often, as we talked about before, respond to pings, will not put their phones on silent. And so, as we've all experienced, I'm sure, when you're sitting with a friend or your partner or your children and they go off, you know, and now they're focused in on somebody else on the other end of their phone, you feel, you know, I'm not as important. But I think it's also because people, as I said, have learned how not to pay attention for long periods of time and how to need that jolt of dopamine or to get that extra piece of stimulation by checking that email or text or responding to that phone call. And that's part of the addiction of our cell phones. And unfortunately, you know, this is a whole other topic, but I see little children on their parents' cell phones at very young ages. And I think it's unfortunately part of life, but I really hope that as time goes on, that it won't be that we'll become more and more aware of just the really negative impact that cell phones have on us, not just when we're in the car, but just in general with relationships with people.
Yeah, we got to set a good example, and we've hit that a couple of times with our kids, not teaching them bad habits, especially nowadays, because social communication might be suffering as a result of social media and technology. I think you ask a lot of people, and if they were truthful, they'd say they'd rather hear a ping in a text they were getting from somebody than that same somebody actually giving them a call to talk with them and have a personal
100%.
Connection with them.
100%, yeah. Because people are used to like responding on their own time as opposed to kind of being put on the spot with a phone call. They can just kind of respond to it as they're doing something else, again, multitasking. They don't want to engage in long conversations or really get to know how the other person on the end of the line is really doing. They just want to have these very brief exchanges. So, yeah, it's a whole other way. I mean, what was meant to connect us has actually created disconnect, I believe. One of the topics that I don't know if you've addressed this, but the whole topic of cell phones in the classroom, I've heard interesting, you know, reports about how that's going. And I'm not sure if you've heard anything, but when they first came out with that new ruling about kids not having their cell phones in the classroom, I thought, what are they doing to help the kids, as they all are, who are addicted? And there's no like weaning process. It's not like, it's like taking away cigarettes from an adult and saying, you can't have a cigarette for the rest of the day, but not giving them any tools or skills about how to cope with the effects of withdrawal.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's mixed. If you're talking to the kids, if you're talking to the parents, it's mixed. There are some parents that would say, great, they don't need their phones anyway to begin with. I wish I never gave it to them. You know, and then there are others that are saying, well, how am I supposed to get a hold of my kid during the day? They need to have their phone with them at all times. So
that's right.
I've heard both.
Yeah, me too.
Well, and I think there is, because look, let's face it, it's the world we're living in right now. So
yeah.
I don't think you can altogether banish phones, tablets, what have you. You just have to know how to properly use them. They have a use, but they don't have to take over your lives.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's about how can we control them as opposed to the technology controlling us.
That's right. That's right.
So
very well
those
said.
Skills,
yeah.
And as I said, learning patience. And actually, it's like any kind of compulsive behavior. Like if you have a obsessive compulsive behavior and you feel compelled, you feel that urge to do something that your brain is telling you to do. You may not have OCD when you're responding to a ping on your phone, but in the same vein, it takes time to force yourself, restrain yourself and say, I'm not going to check it now. I'm going to listen to this great news talk radio show, and then I'm going to check it when I stop my car. I think if you reinforce that all the time and you practice it, then eventually you'll be able to not do it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Check out helpmesarah.com, psychologist, author, parenting, relationship expert, host of the Experts Connect with Help Me Sarah podcast. It's Sarah Demmerman. Sarah, we always appreciate your joining us. Thank you so much for taking the time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. HelpMeSarah.com. Again, folks, check that out. When it is safe to do so, not in a way that would be dangerous or distracting.